I'm on the phone right now with Sarita Ahuja, who is a local Montreal activist who is currently in occupied Palestine working with the International Solidarity Movement. She joins us on the phone from the Balata refugee camp in Nablus. Thank you for being with us today, Sarita.
Thank you, Aaron.
The ISM right now is involved in its annual Freedom Summer campaign. You've been in Palestine for just about a week. Can you tell us some of the actions that have been going on in the West Bank against the Israeli occupation that you've been involved in?
The Freedom Summer campaign has been going on for over a month, and it involves about a week of actions in different regions of the West Bank. And I arrived in the middle of a week of actions in the area Ramallah district in the Berlin village, where for over 4 months now the villagers of Berlin have been demonstrating every Friday against the construction of the apartheid wall just outside their village, and there was a spontaneous action organized for the Wednesday, this past Wednesday, where three internationals, two Israelis and two Palestinians, locked themselves inside a cylinder, and on the route where the wall is to be continued to be built, and there were three internationals, including myself, that were chained to the cylinder from the outside. We did this about 6 o'clock in the morning before the day's work was to begin. And it didn't take long before Israeli soldiers showed up. Approximately, you know, a dozen soldiers came up, and they immediately told us that we had to leave and so on and so forth. There was a gathering of about 50 villagers and other internationals that were quickly cleared from the area, and about, you know, 50 meters away from where the cylinder was placed on the road. Didn't take them long before they got the cutters out and cut away the chains from me and the two other internationals on the other side of the cylinder. And they brought us away from the cylinder, but they didn't arrest us. And they then started to try to bang on the cylinder and find a way in which they could get the seven people inside, out of it. They resorted to their batons, and they just started beating people on their heads because the people were inside the cylinder, but you could see their heads that were sticking out and their legs. So the soldiers just started to beat people on their heads, and when people were ducked inside the cylinder, and they just kept on shoving them with their batons. And eventually, about a half an hour later, everybody was taken out of the cylinder and detained and arrested, accused of being in a closed military zone, assaulting an officer, and disturbing the peace. The internationals were released the following day with conditions to not approach the construction area for about 500 meters. The Israelis were released the same day, and I believe the Palestinian villager is still in detention, and I have no news of what's going on with him. But as most people know, the Palestinians are brought through the military system, and they can be detained for long periods without accusations or without trials. So we'll have to see what happens with him.
Now, as we mentioned earlier, the International Solidarity Movement is involved in a Freedom Summer campaign, which is a campaign that happens every summer that involves coordinated nonviolent direct actions around the West Bank. Can you give us a little bit of a preview of actions that will be coming up in the coming days and weeks that the ISM will be involved in?
Sure. I just want to mention that last week was also supposed to be a week of actions in the Salfit district, which is just north of Ramallah. and south of Nablus, where I am now. Now, those actions were delayed because three people were assassinated when the army entered the village, and the villagers have since decided to postpone their actions and see what they will do in the future. But the campaign continues, and today was the first day of actions for a week of direct actions in the Nablus region, where there's been a lot of incursions as well as curfew and closure since January. After the week of actions in Nablus, the Freedom Summer actions will finish in the Ramallah district and end by August, the third week of August, where a lot of the internationals will be returning. One of the things that the Freedom Summer coordinators are talking about here in Palestine is that the tactic of the Ministry of Interior for the Israeli government to deny entry to a lot of internationals is working, whereas there were over 200 internationals last summer that were participating in the actions. This summer, there's very, very few. There's only about 20 to 30 internationals. So it makes a big difference, undermining people's ability to come and stay in the occupied territories. So there's always the need for internationals to join these campaigns, because the people in Palestine really, really want and always tell us that they are glad that we have come to participate with them in these actions. So as I was saying, for this week in Nablus, there's a series of actions that have been organized to basically contest the closure around certain villages. For example, today there was a demonstration in the village of Asira, which is located north of Nablus city. It has about 12,000 people living in this village, and it's a very famous village for its olive oil. It's attracted, you know, buyers from everywhere in the region and even outside of Palestine, from Jordan and so on. But with the closures, the economy has been greatly affected, and the farmers are you know, feeling this economic aggression, where they can't harvest their olives, and the shepherds as well are very reluctant to go out to the lands because there's constant aggression towards them. Today, for example, about 250 villagers gathered near the Sabtash Road, that is one of the shortest roads from Asira that takes them to the center of Nablus, where they do their buying and selling. And it's been blocked since the beginning of the Al-Aqsa Intifada. And we were on our way to meet them at about 9 o'clock this morning when we were detained by soldiers that came out of a cave. And they quickly came up to us and you know, immediately told us that we weren't allowed to go through here. We were about 100 meters from the actual roadblock. It's a roadblock of, you know, a big pile of earth that effectively blocks any kind of car passage. And they, you know, they detained us for well over an hour. And during that time, we were told that the army had descended into the village and surrounded the villagers. They immediately confiscated cars, a local ambulance, the keys, any cameras that were there, and the film, and declared that it was an illegal demonstration, and that if anybody continued on, they would shoot them in the head. About 10 Israeli peace activists had been approaching the village at the same time, and they were detained and arrested. They were released about an hour later. But we also were informed that while the villagers were surrounded, one villager was shot in the hip area. He is not badly injured, but the bullet did graze his leg. And one of the community leaders also managed to stop another shooting. He had overheard, because he understands a little bit of Hebrew, he'd overheard one of the soldiers point two young men on the top of a car and said, you know, get them, make sure you hit them. And he put himself in front of the guns and said, you know, stop shooting, you know, this is a nonviolent demonstration and so on. And he started to talk to the high-ranking officer nearby and, you know, questioning him, why do you allow the settlers to move so freely on these lands and you don't allow us? What about the sheep? As he pointed to the sheep near them, what about the sheep? Can they move? And the high-ranking officer answered that if it were up to him, he would make sure that the closures continued forever and that Palestinians have no right to move and that the sheep are animals, so of course they can move around freely. And he reiterated to Kanan, the community leader, that he would put a bullet through anybody's head if they attempted to go further onto the road that leads to Nablus. Now, this, as I said, the villagers were completely alone. None of the media or internationals were able to get in to that area to accompany them. So this happened in a very short amount of time. The demonstration was dispersed after about an hour or so, and everybody returned home. When we were finally allowed to go by the soldiers, we decided to go to Asira, the village, but from another route where there's normally checkpoints. We were told by the community leader, Kanan, that there was still a checkpoint in a nearby village, and as we approached, we were getting ready to confront the soldiers, but there was no checkpoint, as is the case for many, many areas in all of West Bank and Gaza. These flying checkpoints are very spontaneous, and you never know. The situation is constantly in flux. So we got to Asira there, where we spoke to some of the villagers that were not in the Friday afternoon prayer. And basically, we tried to come up with some plans to be able to be there for the upcoming demonstration on Thursday. There'll be another demonstration again against the roadblocks and closures, and we hope that we will be able to accompany the villagers that have been protesting the closures for a couple of months. But the villagers are quite scared, and you know, there's been several people that have been shot and killed in their community. So we'll have to see what happens on the Thursday. One thing is, just to mention, last night we arrived in time for a demonstration in the city of Nablus in support of the prisoners. It was a very large demonstration. I'd say about 1,000 people took to the streets in solidarity with the prisoners. And one thing to remember is that there's over 1,400 people from the Nablus region that are in Israeli prisons. Also, about half of the 1,500 martyrs from the West Bank come from the Balata camp, where I am now. This region is well known for its resistance to the occupation. And so it was an incredible experience to see family members on the streets. A lot of children and mothers had the photos of their sons that are imprisoned. And so we got a chance to walk with them.
Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Well, and one thing is, like, for example, the recent assassinations here in the Balata camp, for example, about 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, there was a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 17-year-old that were assassinated. And one of them was returned with the body completely mutilated with knives and so on. So the people here are you know, resisting an enormous amount of repression right now, with all this talk of disengagement and the, you know, the future of peace. It's just ironic being here. You get to see the reality and the amount of death that's happening, and the amount of constant aggression and harassment that people have to take is just astounding. For someone like me, who's been doing support work and solidarity work for the Palestinian people in Montreal, it's very fulfilling, I guess I could say, to actually be here and see the day-to-day workings of what the occupation means on people and how they are resisting it in such a humble and honorable way.
We've been on the phone with Sarita Ahuja, a Montrealer activist currently in Palestine with the International Solidarity Movement. Thank you very much, Sarita, for talking with us.
Thank you.